back, folks, to another enlightening episode of the Cast Ascendancy podcast. As always, I'm your host, Prophet. Today, we're going to be diving headfirst into this intricate web of family dynamics, exploring a topic that can send shockwaves pretty much through any family. I mean, it's something, a tale as old as time, as they say, right? It's why some parents sometimes use their kids against the other parent, or why parents are always, you know, parent versus parent once they separate and stuff like that. It's a theme that's like both complex and emotionally charged. It's an intricate tapestry of human relationships, right? Family is the most intricate thread. And sometimes it gets knotted up, you know, in the most perplexing ways because people can't be adults, you know? Imagine a world where parents, individuals tasked with, you know, nurturing and protecting their offspring, sometimes use their own children as pawns in a game of emotional chess. It's really what it comes down to. We're going to venture into the labyrinth of the human psyche and dissect the psychological impact of these innocent souls. The scars may not be visible sometimes, you know, but the emotional wounds run deep. We'll explore how such conflicts can leave lasting imprints on a child's soul. How sometimes, you know, it'll affect their adult life. I mean, I thank God I didn't have to deal with these problems myself. My parents were together until my dad passed away. So I never went through this firsthand myself as far as being a child. But I've had it happen to me with my previous relationships and so on. So let's take a closer look at the intricate conflicts that arise within the family dynamic when parents use their kids against the other parent. I mean, it's a heartbreaking scenario. I mean, I hear about this shit sometimes and it breaks my heart. I mean, and I'm one of the least emotional people that I've ever met. But yeah, these emotions, they can be devastating, cause lifelong issues. But to truly understand the weight of these conflicts, man, it's essential to grasp that children, they're often caught in the middle of this shit, you know, of these parents' disputes, their fights, their nonsense. Picture a child, you know, he adores both their parents, his mother and his father, finding himself torn between, you know, loyalty to the two people that he loves the most, or she loves the most, whatever. As battles escalate, they're left in a, you know, in this emotional, like, turmoil, this war, struggling to comprehend why the very people who should, you know, protect them are embroiled in this turmoil. I mean, like, a kid is never going to understand that. It doesn't even matter when they're older or whatnot. Sometimes, I mean, it's best when I guess they're younger because they don't have to go through the same amount of shit, I guess, or they don't remember it or whatever, you know? So these conflicts, man, they often manifest in a variety of ways. They find themselves acting as messengers or unwittingly carrying hostile messages between parents, exposed to heated arguments, the venomous words of one parent directed at the other, where they witness confrontations that shatter their sense of security, you know? The ongoing exposure to conflicts become, you know, persistent, toxic backdrop to their formative years. I mean, it just ruins everything. It's a mess, man. I mean, I just want you guys to go ahead and stay towards the end because, you know, I'm going to share some of the stories that were shared with me. A lot of people that messaged me, you know, want to be anonymous, and I fully understand that. But yeah, so the psychological impact on these innocent souls is profound, man. It's enduring. It can manifest in so many ways: anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, pervasive fear of abandonment, shit like that. You know, they might internalize these conflicts, believing that they're somehow to blame for the fights. And these feelings can persist, you know, well into adulthood, you know, affecting their future relationships, and also their mental well-being. These wounds, they often run deeper than one, you know, than most can imagine. And this is all, like, I mean, I can't say this, like I said, firsthand, but I can only imagine the shit that these kids have to deal with, you know. It leaves a lasting imprint on a child's soul. It's a harsh reality that they carry with them through life, you know, navigating the challenges of adulthood with the weight of their parents' conflicts on their shoulders, man. I mean, it's not fair. It's not fair to these kids, man. Just always remember, understanding these conflicts is the first step, like, towards finding a solution, towards healing. So what we're going to do today is we're going to explore strategies to cope with these situations and provide, you know, guidance on how to navigate the stormy waters while preserving the well-being of these innocent souls, right? So let's talk about the hidden motives, right? What lies beneath the surface? What are the root causes that lead parents to use their kids as instruments, you know, instruments of influence? Unresolved conflicts, power struggles, the emotional wounds that often drive, you know, such behavior. So for starters, right, let's talk about unresolved conflicts, right? I'm trying to keep some of this stuff as quick as I can. When parents have unresolved issues or conflicts, you know, with each other, they may use their children to continue these disputes, right? For example, if, like, let's say one parent feels wronged by the other one in whatever way, they might use a kid to convey these grievances, you know, putting the child in the middle of their disputes. We also got, like, power struggles. In some cases, you know, parents may engage in a power struggle to, you know, to control or influence over the child's life. For example, like, one parent might try to outdo the other parent by allowing the child to do shit that the other parent would disapprove of, just to, you know, assert their authority. Then also, you got parents who've been hurt or betrayed by the other parent. They may use their child as a way to hurt the others in return. Like, I don't know, it can manifest as alienating the child from the other parent, you know, damaging the child's relationship with the other parent, keeping them from them, you know, so on and so forth, right? Parents who harbor resentment or anger towards the other parent might use the child to seek revenge. Like, they could manipulate the child into expressing hostility or resentment towards the other parent. One of the stories that I have, actually, this is exactly what happened. The kid pretty much hated the other parent for, you know, forever until finally, you know, they were able to talk and sit down and have a conversation, and the kid was able to get both sides of the story, you know? The one that I hate the most, man, is insecurity. Sometimes, you know, a parent has, you know, so many insecurities that lead to their, to using their child, you know, as a means of validation. They might seek to make them, I don't know, more loyal to them, fearing that the child will prefer the other parent. You know, they're so insecure that they start doing these things, you know, to pull the other child, you know, closer to them for that reason. But yeah, these are just a few examples, man. Like I said, unresolved conflicts, power struggles, revenge, insecurity. And these are the things that can drive parents to use their children as tools of influence in the context of a separation or a divorce or whatever, you know. It's just important to address these underlying issues to create a healthier environment for both the parents and the child. I mean, if you don't know what the reason is, it's going to be a lot harder to get past these things, right? Let's talk about like the telltale signs, right? Alienation tactics, right? The parent might actively work to alienate the child from the other parent. They might speak negatively about the other parent, question the child about their experiences with the other parent, or discourage them from, you know, even spending time with them, you know? Constant criticism is another one. The parent constantly criticizes and belittles the other parent in front of the child or to the child. This can be like, you know, derogatory remarks that the other parent's abilities or personality or lifestyle style or whatever, you know? Inappropriate confidences, which inappropriate information about the other parent's conflicts, such as like financial issues, legal matters, relationship problems, stuff like that, you know, just talking about how they're just inept in certain areas or they can't do certain things right, you know, just stuff like that, which is fucked up. Manipulative behavior. The parent may manipulate a child into taking their side in disagreements or conflicts. They might use guilt, emotional manipulation, or even bribery, which is the worst, man. I mean, pretty much trying to buy your child. Imagine the things you're teaching your child by like bribing them into, into getting their loyalty. I mean, I don't know. People have to deal with like interference with contact, you know, where they just actively interfere with the child's contact with the other parent, blocking visitation, ignoring court-ordered custody arrangements, or making it difficult for the child to maintain a relationship with the other parent, whether it be through phone calls or video calls or whatever, you know, what have you. Emotional distress in the child. If you start seeing, like, the child display signs of emotional distress, such as, like, increased anxiety, depression, withdrawal, or acting out, these changes could be behaviors that, you know, that are linked to the conflict between the parents as well. Fear of upsetting the parent, where the child just, you know, just concerned about upsetting, you know, the manipulating parent. They avoid mentioning the other parent or hide their positive experiences with the other parent because they want to avoid conflict. Loyalty test is another fucked up one where parents will explicitly or implicitly test the child's, you know, loyalty by asking them to choose sides in conflicts or to keep secrets from the other parent. Inconsistent or unpredictable behavior where the manipulating parent, their behavior may be inconsistent or unpredictable, making it difficult for the child to know how to respond or even act or behave around them, you know. Legal or custody violations where the parent obviously violates legal agreements or court orders that are related to the custody and the visitation rights, indicating disregard for the child's best interests. I mean, they obviously don't care, you know, their needs and their, what they're looking for is most important, right? So like recognizing signs like these, you know, they can have a significant negative impact on the child's well-being and their relationship with both parents. I feel if you suspect, you know, that a parent is using the child against the other parent, it's essential to seek, you know, some kind of legal or professional guidance to protect the child's best interests and well-being. I've never called the police in my life. I don't know what it's like to call the police. I'll never call the police. I just don't do that kind of shit. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that everyone should be that way. I just don't, and I won't. But in situations like this, man, I mean, it might be the best idea. I mean, realistically, let's dive into the legal implications of, you know, these behaviors, man. We're going to explore, you know, custody, visitation rights, try to shine some light on the consequences that parents, you know, might face for their actions, right? So legal custody involves obviously the right to make important decisions regarding the child's life, such as, you know, whether it's education, healthcare, religion. In most cases, you know, courts aim for joint legal custody, allowing both parents to have a say in these matters, right? That's the usual thing, unless enough evidence is brought up where it'll be something different, like whether it be physical custody, which also relates to where the child lives. Parents can have, you know, joint physical custody where the child, you know, spends a substantial amount of time with both parents, or sole custody where the child primarily resides with one parent, which then obviously leads to visitation rights. If one parent doesn't have the physical custody, obviously they're allowed to spend time with the child on a schedule determined by the court. And then when you disregard these things, you know, and you violate custody and visitation rights, obviously there's legal penalties. You got a modification of custody, loss of parental rights. Consistent violations can have a profound emotional like impact on a child, I think. They may suffer from stress or anxiety, like I said earlier, emotional distress, which also in turn can end up, you know, influencing the court's further decisions. Also, it can result in reimbursement of legal fees. The court might order, you know, time to make up for, you know, missed visits and stuff like that. So navigating the storm, I guess, is what you would call it, right? Those who find themselves on the receiving end of such, you know, manipulations I'm gonna try to see how I can give any kind of guidance on how to navigate these waters and maintain a healthy relationship with your child. The biggest thing is always, you know, effective communication and conflict resolution techniques when it comes to, you know, dealing with the other parent, right? Keep your child's best interests at the forefront of all your actions and decisions, man. Focus on providing a stable environment for your child. Stay calm and composed, you know what I mean? When you interact with the other parent, maintain your composure and avoid getting caught up in, you know, in the emotional conflicts, man. Be a role model for your child by demonstrating, you know, resilience, you know what I mean? Which is, resilience is one of the things I talk about the most in all of my shows, man. Maintain open and respectful communication with the other parent, even when they're being, you know, assholes. I mean, just particularly when, you know, when discussing matters, you know, relating to your child, you know, just use a neutral and non-confrontational tone, whether it's in person, over the phone or whatnot. Follow the court orders and document everything. I mean, that's one thing that I've never been good about that might have cost me some of my time lost to some of my kids. You know, just document every single thing. Keep records of, like, your interactions with the other parent, you know, especially if you encounter difficulties. This can include, like, text messages, emails, notes about any of the visitations of your court orders. Seek mediation, man. I mean, consider involving a neutral third party, either whether it's a mediator, a counselor, whatnot, man. Just mediation can provide a safe space to address issues and find, you know, common ground. Also, you know, empower your child. Encourage your child to express their feelings and thoughts about the situation. Listen to their concerns and validate their emotions. I mean, reassure the child that they are loved and that the conflict between you and the other parent is not their fault. I mean, that should be, like, first priority, I think. Just be consistent. Keep your child's, you know, routines and schedules as consistent as possible, even during, you know, these times of conflicts, you know. Predictability and stability can provide a sense of security for your child. Keep conflict away from them. I mean, as best as you can. You can't always, you know, do that. Sometimes, you know, you get caught in the middle and you get heated. You know, you start acting on impulse or whatnot. But avoid discussing conflicts, legal matters, or personal grievances with the other parent in front of your child. Shield your child from adult issues and conflicts. I mean, and then take care of your own emotional and physical well-being. Self-care is essential for, you know, maintaining a positive and supportive environment for your kid. And like I said earlier, man, legal consultation. I know a lot of things in this life, man. I can guide you on a lot of shit, man. But when it comes to this, I might not be the best person to take any consultation from, right? Just remember that maintaining a healthy relationship with your child during a custody or visitation conflict, it's hard. It can be challenging, you know, but it's essential for their well-being to just be consistent, you know, have empathy, effective communication. You know, that goes a long way in helping your child navigate these stormy waters, and fostering a positive relationship with, you know, with both parents. Is essential to having, you know, your child live their best life. What I'm gonna do now is I'm gonna read some of these stories, right? I mean, some of them are fucking crazy and wild and they're fucked up. So I'm just gonna read them. I'm not gonna say who they're from or anything like that. I'm just gonna just drop them and we'll go from there, right? All right, man. So for the very first one, my daughter's mother was telling me that I couldn't see my daughter anymore because I chose to do gay porn and sex work. I was providing for her and she gladly took my money, but she wouldn't let me see my kid. So I threatened to take legal action, and in response she threatened to blackmail me by sending all of the links to my work and my online ads to all of my family and friends on MySpace. She told me I needed to sign off the rights to my child or she would, you know, expose me. I called her bluff and told her I didn't care. She never followed through, but she promised me she would raise my daughter to know everything and to hate me, right? I eventually signed off my rights. The bitch still told my daughter everything, and my daughter despised me until she was about 13 years old. I don't agree with what the person did, but I mean, at the same time, it's his life. I mean, do whatever the fuck you want to do. If you got to make money, you got to make money, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, especially if the lady took the money, like, how you gonna take the money, right? It's like if I sell drugs and, you know, you tell my fucking kid, you know, I'm a piece of shit drug dealer, but yet the entire time that I was giving you money, you were taking it. It's the same thing, man. It's just fucked up. That situation's fucking, it's wrong, man. I mean, my God, that's just, I don't know. Please feel free to comment. Let me know what you think about everything that I'm gonna, all the ones that I, you know, that I do mention or whatever, right? Okay, so the next one is when my dad filed for divorce from my mom. She made up accusations against my dad, saying that he molested me, tried to beat him, in court, you know, in the proceedings or whatnot. It didn't work and wasn't true, but she took it one step further. When my dad went for failing to pay her child support for 10 plus years, she told me that he molested me so that I would move in with her so she wouldn't have to pay, you know, any child support, and tried making him pay her. Had me real fucked up for the longest time. I wouldn't talk to my dad because I actually believed her. And this right here is fucked up because, so my daughter, right? When my baby's mama was, when my kids were 1 year old, one and two and one, my baby mama disappeared for like a little over a year. didn't do anything. I mean, I had my kids, you know, I was doing the stuff that I was doing. I had to do, you know, everything by myself. My parents helped me out a lot with this, which is awesome. Thanks, mom and dad, like always, man. And then when she came back, you know, I mean, I let my kids right back into their life. You know what I mean? I didn't tell them anything. I never spoke bad about her. And I had two daughters, right? So I felt that a daughter, you know, needed to be with their mom. You know what I mean? I couldn't teach them girl shit. So I let her, you know, have the kids again. And then when I went to prison, she just, you know, she told my kids that I would beat her, right? Now, for one, I never lived with this woman. She was never my girlfriend. She was just some chick that I used to smash that, you know, was popping holes in my condom and ended up getting pregnant, right? Second one, I was drunk, got home one night and smashed, and she got pregnant again, whatever. What sucks is that, like, I never lived with this girl. She never lived with me. We never shared a home together. I mean, she could never say that I beat her because we were never an item. We were never together, man. But my kids actively, I mean, she tells me that she remembers me beating her mom up. And it's not memories, man. It's just, you know, they were told these things for so long that they ended up believing it, right? And they fabricated memories from this. You know what I mean? It's just, it's fucked up, man. It's really fucked up. My God. The next one is, okay. He writes, we'll start with moderately fucked up. I had a family coming up, 6-hour drive from my birthday over the weekend. It was supposed to be my off weekend. So I scheduled with my ex to swap weekends so I could have my kid, you know, or my sons for my birthday, you know, with my family. I give her my weekend like we agreed to, no big deal. Comes time to pick up the kids for my weekend. All of my family's here. She decides that I can't have the kids if my girlfriend is there. Demands, you know, she leaves before she'll bring the kids. Then proceeds to have my 4-year-old son call my dad and tell him, Papa, how bad he wants to see him and how much he misses him and how sad he is that he can't come to my house because I love my girlfriend more than I love him. So, I mean, like, that's just fucked up. I mean, to have the little kid call the grandpa and do this little guilt trip shit, that's fucking foul. I would lose my shit so bad. So bad. Let me see what else other one I have. All right, so here's another one, right? They write, they split when the two kids were 5 and 4, right? They split when the kids were 5 and 4, right? This is actually now, it's a girl. And she used to get, according, you know, to what she's telling me, she used to get, like, you know, pretty much not physically abused, but verbally abused by him, you know, all day long, whatever. She had no job. She was, a house mom or whatever. So when they split up, they gave him most of the custody. She ended up moving out about like 25 minutes away. And from the very first, you know, moment, I mean, because she was awarded, you know, she was supposed to have the weekends with the kids. She was supposed to have the kids, you know, I think it was summers and vacations, so on and so forth. Every issue, you know, every time that she would, every weekend that she would go pick them up after work, you know, on Fridays or whatever, it would always be like a fight, an issue, an hour wait long. Sometimes he wouldn't be there, you know, so she'd have to wait around, you know, for 2 hours for him to come home, that kind of shit, right? But it was just an ongoing fight. A few summers, you know, he would just go out of town and take off with the kids so she wouldn't have them and just that kind of shit. It was just an ongoing battle all the time. Well, she started documenting this stuff, right? She just started, you know, documenting, taking videos, you know, saving text messages and so on and so forth. And the beautiful thing that happened is after 3 years of fighting this battle, you know, she ended up going up and getting a lawyer, you know, saving up some money. And she was able to get, you know, physical custody of the kids, you know, I mean, which is fucking amazing. I wish I could say who this was because, I mean, congratulations. I mean, that's just, it's fucking beautiful. She tried to always put her kids, you know, first, but, you know, she had, you know, her problems and her stuff. But she never kept the kids from the guy. She never interfered with visitations or whatnot. Now the kids are teenagers, man. And I'm just glad to say that her and the dad, you know, they get along now. They're actually very active in co-parenting together. So that's just, it's fucking amazing, man. Congratulations to both of you. Just being able to, you know, just to stand up and be better humans, man. I mean, and doing it for the kids. I mean, that's commendable. I mean, for real, props to both you guys. My respect 100%, man. I have two more stories, but I don't like to do my fuck. I don't like my podcast to go for too damn long. I mean, everyone's always telling me that make them longer. And I probably won't unless I have a guest on the show. When I have a guest on the show, they're going to be longer just because shit hits the fan. We get to talk and shooting the shit and so on and so forth, man. But just remember, man, you're not alone in this journey. I mean, I'm always here to hear, listen to anybody that wants to share anything with me. I'm going to summarize just pretty much what we learned today. And it's just parents may use their children as instruments of influence, you know, in conflicts, often due to unresolved issues, power struggles, emotional wounds, insecurities. We went over recognizing the telltale signs and red flags, you know, such as alienation tactics, consistent criticism, manipulation, and how crucial it is, you know, to address these issues. We talked about custody and visitation rights, potential, you know, the potential legal consequences that parents, you know, will face, you know, when they violate these court orders, you know, including fines, legal penalties, also, you know, modifications in custody arrangements. We talked about, you know, how to maintain a healthy relationship with your child when facing custody and visitation conflicts, you know, just prioritizing their well-being, staying composed, you know, communicate effectively and follow court orders. Seek mediation, empower your child to express their feelings and maintain consistency and in the routines, you know. This will also, you know, always, you know, provide stability. Shield your child from adult conflicts and prioritize their self-care. Be emotionally available for them, right? Navigating the complexities of custody and visitation conflicts, man, they can be very difficult. It's essential to remember that you're not alone. Like I said earlier, you know, in this process, seek support from friends, me, family, professional people, whatever, man. I mean, anyone that can offer, you know, guidance, assistance, or even just, you know, lend you the ear to, you know, to listen to. Just open these lines of communication and seek understanding, you know, with the other parent, if possible, to work together for the best interests of the child. Just most importantly, always prioritize, you know, the well-being of your children, man. I mean, just keep that in mind. Their emotional and psychological health should always be the forefront of every decision and action that you take. By focusing on their needs and providing, you know, a stable, loving and nurturing environment, you know, you help them navigate the challenges and, you know, and have to not deal with the shit that might manifest in the future, you know. At the end of the day, man, don't be a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? Put your children first if you have to. I'm a firm believer that, you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you know, you should put your other half first, you know, and but just always, you know, have a loving environment for your children. Be the rock that they need. So that's a wrap on today's episode of the Cast Ascendancy Podcast. I hope you found some kind of insight or, you know, some kind of enlightening and guidance, you know, that empowers you. And just remember, man, we're all about growth, you know, knowledge, understanding here. This in no shape or form has to do with my present relationship with Amber. She actively lets me talk to my child. And when she doesn't, I give her shit and I talk fucking madness. And, you know, I'm an asshole and I go off and I don't fucking give a fuck. It's just how I am. Until next time, you know, just keep seeking, keep learning, and keep growing. You know, become a better person. Life is hard, but there's ways around it, man. And I feel that listening to my fucked up podcast may be a way around a lot of, you know, issues, man. Also, I got a blog this up. Check that out. Go to my website, castascendancy.pro. And yeah, just check it out, man. I'm pretty fucking amazing. I mean, if you don't think so, you're fucking stupid and your mom hates you. It's just a fact. Let's go.